Blog Talk Radio.
Resting place for you.
coming to your garden, coming to your garden. So come into your
In rehearsal, we were just practicing this song. And again, in my spirit, I just sensed that if you are suffering cancer, if you've been given a death sentence by the doctor, whatever it is, we're going to sing this thing over you. We're going to sing these words straight from the Word of God. God is fighting for us. I hate cancer. I hate cancer in Jesus' name. And so we stand up, amen, and in the name of Jesus, not in our own strength, but in the name of Jesus, sickness has to flee, it has to bow down to the name of Jesus. We declare the finished work of Christ in this place. We declare that Jesus has paid the price. We declare that there is healing in the name of Jesus. We declare it in the mighty name of Jesus in this place. I declare it, anyone listening to this music tonight, I declare it in Jesus' name. Come on, we sing it out, we sing it out. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom, that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom, that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, shout it out. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ, alive in me, alive and free, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody, to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Hi, it's Carmen tonight. I hope you had a great week. I know I've had a relaxing day, and I praise God for it. I also wanted to praise God for two ladies that we asked for prayer last week, and both are doing better. One is coming out of her coma and is moving her eyes and her head. She's not talking just yet. So keep on praying for Anita. She's in Italy, and she used to be my pastor, my pastor's wife, and she's doing better. Her husband called me this morning and said to continue to pray. Mary Lou, also great report. She apparently the biopsy that they took on one of the things in her body came out negative. She doesn't have any cancer there. They're still taking care of other issues, and we're praying that God will come through for that too. So thank you for your prayers for Anita and Mary Lou. And praise God. That's why I played that song tonight. They will live and they will not die in Jesus' name. All right. This week I got to listening back to some of the subjects that we've been talking about, the ninth of Av. And for the Jews, on that day, it's one of the saddest day of the year. And why so? What happened on this past week on the 13th, something happened on the temple floor, on the temple mount, around the surroundings of the temple mount. What happened was that something really miraculous happened, but something else happened to disrupt it. Jews who were bowing on the temple mount, on the temple floor, and they were bowing towards where the temple used to be, the first two temples used to be, and that's not allowed. They didn't, normally the rules don't allow that, for them to pray there. But apparently the guards allowed them to do it. Okay, well, that wasn't something that was common for the Jews to pray there. Yet, and it was on the 9th of Av, which was August the 13th, 2024. And so that's not a common thing for the Jews to be able to do that, because if you're praying, even if they see your mouth moving like you're praying, they'll arrest you. They'll arrest the Jews. Muslims, on the other hand, they can go on the Temple Mount anytime they want, and they can go through it and through any of the gates and do what they want. It's basically used as a state park. They have their families there. They even play soccer around the surrounding of the Temple Mount. They also pray. But one of the things that they do when they pray, they bow down, but they give their backs to the Dome of the Rock where the temple used to be, which is on the Temple Mount. This is a holy place. It's a holy place for the Jews, the one only place for the Jews. But for the Muslim, it's one of many holy places that they use. They have Mecca, they have that place. Muslims can do what they will, and nothing happens to them. They can pray, and they won't get arrested. Jews, on the other hand, can't. They're arrested on the spot. But something miraculously happened on that day. A small group of Jews went by, and they started to pray. They didn't say anything. They just said, you know, they said, well, allow us to finish our prayer. So they finished, and they moved on. So you thought that was okay, right? Well, the Jews believed that they needed to pray on the 9th of Av because of the past, the things that have happened in the past, where many sad things have happened, and I'll mention them in a few minutes. So they did give them a few minutes to pray, and so what's miraculous was that nothing had happened. But later, a gentleman who is Israel's national security minister, went on the Temple Mount on the 9th of Av. This man stirred something in Israel, but also internationally, in the international community. He said that they were there on the 9th of Av, Teshuv, on the Temple Mount, to commemorate the destruction of the Holy Temple. And as I said before, their policies didn't allow them to pray. But this man was saying something else, and he was praying for, he said that he had gone there to visit the Temple Mount to pray for the return of the hostages, the peace of the soldiers, and the victory in the war. So he was declaring that, like if he was a spokesperson for Israel. So you say, so what's so controversial about that? Well, because of this statement, this gentleman, Israel's national security minister named Itamar Ben-Gvir, said he said that it caused the prime minister, the office of the prime minister, to get a little bit afraid of the consequences of what would happen with that statement. So he made a statement of his own, declaring and stating that this national, the Israeli's national security minister, or any leader of any kind, did not have the right to declare anything and change things. That only came from the office of the prime minister. And so, consequently, other leaders in Israel, they also came out and they spoke because they knew the consequences of this, that it was going to trigger rioting, it was going to trigger something. So the prime minister, Netanyahu, his concern of the consequences of breaking the law, because that's what this man was doing. He was breaking the law, praying, and then praying for the war. So he said it was the prime minister, okay? The prime minister said that their policies were determined by them, not private policies of any ministers or national security ministers or any kind of minister on the Temple Mount. So it caused other leaders to also come out and voice and give their own words stating that that wasn't coming from them. And so you would think that was the end of that. No. That wasn't the end of that. So the policy there is for the police to detain anyone that breaks the law. Well, after this man has spoken, they detained 40 Israelites, 40 Jews, for putting up flags of Israel, kneeling and laying on the ground. So 29 of them were warned, but 11 of them were detained and questioned. And this was after this gentleman, this security minister, had spoken. They were getting ready. People were getting ready. Jews were getting ready. So after that, they normally, for Jewish people to go on the Temple Mount, they go in groups, small groups, and they let them go in small groups and let them go out. Muslims, on the other hand, they come in and out from any gate. So, you know, there's a bit of unfairness here. So let me refresh you on some of the things that were going on that have been going on for many years. There's been strong hatred and bad propaganda against the Jews. This has been going on for many, many years. Because of this, many years passed by. On this day of Av, there's a list of things that have already passed, that have happened, that have been bad against the Jews. And so it's the practice of the Jews to pray, and other people, believers, also pray on their behalf on this day, because they know that on this day, bad things happen to them. All right, so one of the things is, the first thing that happened was when the spies returned with a bad report. This is referring to when Moses sent out 12 spies into the land to report what they had seen. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that came back with a good report. So the other ones were afraid. And the Jews can say also that this man that had spoken about praying on the Temple Mount, he was like a Caleb and a Joshua. But the rest of the leadership were afraid. And so, I mean, rightly so, because something can happen. But when you're led by God and God has given you something, you do whatever you have to do, and you don't look back. You do what God says. God will protect you. The second thing that have happened, both temples, the second and the first and the second, they were destroyed right there on the Temple Mount. Another thing, the battle at Betar was lost. They lost that war. Another thing, the Romans plowed the Beit Hamikdash. 1 year after that they lost the war, that they were conquered, then the Romans a year later, on the same day, they go plowing over the Temple Mount, which is one of Israel's holy sites, where the temple were. And so Jews were also expelled from England on this very same day, in another year, but on the very same day. Jews were banished from Spain. Queen Isabel and King Ferdinand ordered Jews banished from Spain. It was an edict to expel all the Jews from the land. And it was signed on March 31st, 1492. And then they said 4 months later that they were to leave. They signed it on that day, and 4 months later, which was at the end of the 9th of Av. And so there were Jews in Spain, and those Jews were expelled, and they went to different parts of the world. One of the parts of the world that the Jews had gone to was to Latin America. And so we have Mexico and Venezuela and Colombia and Puerto Rico, Cuba. We have all people that have done DNA. And guess what? They have Jewish ancestry because of the dispersion of them being expelled from Spain. And those are called Sephardic Jews because they come from Spain. Then World War I and the Holocaust, the historians concluded that this was the reason for the conclusion of World War I that began in 1914, where Germany declared war on Russia, catapulted the first World War I in motion on the 9th of Av. Another thing that happened. History repeats itself. History just doesn't happen just because it happens. God has a divine plan, and he has it all has a spiritual meaning for the purposes. But we sometimes don't understand everything that's going on. Jesus, the Jews fasted and prayed on this day. And so this is the 13th of August. So now you could see why this hatred for the Jews is so strong. You know, they've been persecuted. So let's go back to what happened on the 9th of Av, right? Then after this man speaks and they arrest the Jews, a spokesman from the Palestinian Authority, the president, Mahmoud Abbas, that was... that he spoke about Itamar Ben-Gvir, that it was a provocation, and he was a warning of violent consequences due to what he was doing, this security minister. He demanded that the United States administration intervene and that they do it immediately to force occupation government, that's Israel, to stop those provocations against the holy religious site, to preserve the historical and legal status in the city of Jerusalem, and to stop aggression against Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip, in the attacks in the West Bank, they started going on and on if they wanted to prevent something greater from happening. So the Palestinians gave their warning of consequences if no one intervened, you know, the U.S. didn't intervene. And, of course, the U.S. did so. They put out statements opposing what this man had said and the prayers he had said over the Temple Mount. And the statement going on against the status quo, which is the way the affairs are, the way that things are. That's basically what the status quo is. So these, in opposition to Itamar Ben-Ir's statement, believe that he was disrespectful to the holy site. But how is that being disrespectful when the Muslims themselves, they turn the site into a playground? They play soccer. They gather there with their families. Isn't a holy site supposed to be for prayer? But the Jews are not allowed to pray, forcing the temple, you know, when the Jews pray, they face the temple. But when the Muslims pray, they give their back to the temple, to the where the temple used to be, to the Mount of Olives. I mean, not the Mount of Olives, the Temple Mount. And so why is it that they, you know, they allow the Muslims, but they don't allow the Jews? It seems to me it's not equal for either side. One side wants more and believes that they deserve that. So this reminds me of a scripture that I was reading last week, and it's in Ezekiel 8:16, where it says, "Then he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east. And they were prostrating themselves eastward towards the sun." That is what, if you look at the Muslim religion, the moon and the sun is part of what is on their flag. I believe it's on their flag, or yeah. So they're facing the opposite. They're not facing the Temple Mount. So how do the Muslims praying on the Temple Mount with their backs to the Dome of the Rock towards the sun, how is that respectful? The Palestinians and some Jews and U.S. want to preserve the status quo. Doesn't that sound like the spies that they didn't want to go because they thought, you know, oh, the giants are going to eat us. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. This is going to cause a problem if we stir something up. We're going to get clobbered. So what is the status quo? It's the state of things, the way things are, as opposed to the way they could be, the existing state of affairs. They want it the way that it is, that they want it, not how the Jews want it. They say they want respect to the holy site, but respect is by praying, not stopping Jews from praying. It just doesn't seem right. This doesn't make reason here. So it must be some weird spiritual battle going on, right? Remember last week how I gave you the definition of what weird meant? I was watching this one lady, and she gave her testimony on how she, you know, her and her family, they were new, and they moved into their new home, right? It wasn't new, but it was an older home. But apparently things had happened in that home, and there was a demonic activity. And she said that she told the Lord that, you know, it's weird. You know, every time she would get close to the house, she felt weird. And the Lord told her, look up the definition of the word weird. The word weird, of strange or extraordinary character. The second definition, of relating to or caused by witchcraft. or the supernatural. So basically the Lord was telling her it was witchcraft that was going on. It so much affected the family that even her son, after many years, needed a lot of deliverance. He had gotten a lot of things that, you know, as an adult, he couldn't, you know, overcome. The pastor would tell her, well, you know, discipline him more. Do this more. Or no, this is, it's not demons. And later on, they find out that it had something to do with the house. And so we need to be really prayerful. The places that we go live, we need to anoint our homes with the blood of Jesus and understand when something's not right, some weird stuff. I remember the house where my parents lived. The first time that I had come with my children to visit, my father was having such headaches constantly. He was drinking so much medicine for the headaches. And they wouldn't go. And as a young believer, I was like, this is not normal. This is strange. This is weird. And I said, wait a minute. I'm going to pray. So I took vegetable oil from the kitchen and I anointed the house. Can you believe my dad's headaches went away? The thing was that there was someone that lived on this land that would do witchcraft. And nobody ever prayed over the house or the attached. And so it was just strange. That was, you know, and then another time I was in my room and I felt evil presence. And so I cried out to Jesus and that thing went away. So I didn't know much about intercession or praying or anointing my home at that time because I was new. It was new to me. But anoint your home with the blood of Jesus. Funny how all the opposition is where the temple used to be. God's presence was in this place. Remember when we covered the temple and how the instruments, the articles in the temple weren't holy, but when they were in the temple and used for holy use, they became holy. They became holy. So I believe where God's presence falls on is a place separated for God's use. Is God's anointing is there. When God comes to live in us, we become that temple. We no longer need to go to a temple to find God's presence. We're separated for God's use. We should never use our bodies to serve other gods. Look at what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. This is the NIV. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. That price was paid at the cross with the blood of Jesus. Yeshua. Let's look at the verse before this one, 18. It says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins are a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. I thought about that and I was like, well, there's a list of sins that keep us from going to heaven, but this one is the sin against our bodies. Why? I'm not talking about those in the world. I'm talking about believers. The ones in the world, they're already condemned without having Jesus. The Word is talking about those that belong to the Lord, those already in a covenant with God. Remember, we were talking about covenants, doing covenants, oaths, vows. Remember, there are consequences when making vows and oaths when you break them. Only in adultery is God in agreement only to divorce a person if they're in adultery. In God, God can divorce a person that uses their body to do immorality. He separates himself from it. But it's not him doing it. It's the person doing it when they use their body for other things. You can't be part of two sides. You're on God's side, worshiping God with your whole being, or you're on the other side doing whatever you want. Remember, we spoke about different things that other people did that served many gods. But this one in particular is like heavy duty for the Lord. There's something about the body. If you're one that worships with your back to God, you're worshiping other gods. Remember that we talked about other religions that they did real strange things. And we can find many religions that will do that. And I've noticed even Christian believers, Christian churches where they will turn their back to start praying. And I found that so weird. I would never do that. I turned around. I found myself like, what are they doing? Why are they giving their backs to God? Don't allow yourself to be used. Don't allow your body to commit things that God has not called you to do. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. There's a whole list of different works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19 that are manifested. One of them is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All these are grouped together. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, I've told you before, in times past, that they do not enter the kingdom of God. They won't enter the kingdom of God, anyone that does these. But there's something about where Paul talks about the sins that are against the body, only referring to adultery as a sin to the body. I mentioned all these sins that keep a person out of heaven, but why was more importance placed on adultery? It goes against God's plan and design, for one. It's not good for a man to be alone, so he created a woman. We reflect God's image in his image in our relationship as we trust and love him. The word of God says, they shall become one flesh. So when you're serving God and you're part of his body, you become one with him. What does a person that has God in their life have anything to do with idols? And so you can't be on both sides. Adultery destroys marriages and family. It brings abuse to the spouse. It lies. It breaks covenant. It even murders. Remember David and Bathsheba? There was a lot of, there was murdering, broken covenant. It wasn't right. There's consequences to David's sin. It even affected his children. To his God and family and his country, it affected. Adultery damages the picture of the gospel. Remember that I say what we do also has a parallel? Well, there is a parallel in the spirit realm. So when a person is committing adultery, they're also giving their back to God. They're being unfaithful to God when they once knew him. That's if they truly knew him. And so God is, you know, you're not mocking God. What you sow, you're going to reap. Marriage is connected to Christ. It paints a picture of our relationship with God. Adultery paints a picture of the tearing apart of one's flesh that was established by God. When two people are married and there is adultery going on, there's something that happens in the spirit. It tears that person in their soul. I can't explain it. I've gone through it. It's just really painful. And I knew about it beforehand. I knew there was something. But it's very painful for people to be in relationships, not in marriage. You're causing yourself pain. And not only that, you're spiritually, you're breaking your covenant with God. So that's why it's important. The Apostle Paul emphasizes that it is adultery, you know, against the body. It's sin against the body. So adultery is a parallel expression of spiritual adultery. It hurts the body. It also hurts the spiritual body, the church. How many churches, because of all this divorce going on, hasn't it hurt the body of Christ? It hurts spouses. It hurts the children. It hurts. It's against God. So it's not only you, but it's against your body and the body of Christ. Right now, we're seeing ministers divorcing. You know, marriage is a ministry, and it takes a lot of a person to minister to the other person. And I don't recommend it if you're not going to put your all into it. Because God is seeing, I mean, there's parallels in your life. You're going to grow as a believer when you're married because you have to minister to another person, be very understanding with another person when they're not there at their best. And so I don't recommend for people to be shacking around because it's going to hurt you in your body, in your soul, in your spirit. And when we serve God, we have to serve him with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, with all our being. God always refers to the church as his bride. He describes his relationship with his people in terms of a marriage covenant. Running after other men and women is like running after other gods. God, in his word, had said, he covered the nakedness of Israel and entered into a covenant with her, describing Israel like a female, describing Israel like a bride with her groom. God is a jealous God. He doesn't play those games with adultery. These parallels are also in James 4:4, where it says, God says friendship with the world is hostility towards God. Okay? God wants us not only our bodies, but our bodies, our soul, our spirit. He wants all of us, our minds, our wills, our emotion, our body, our spirit, all, everything. When we receive Jesus, he lives in us. Wherever you go, you carry God's presence. So people of God, there's a lot of crazy stuff out there, TV, radio, even the fashion world, even makeup and all this stuff is leading people to do the unthinkable. And when I say adultery, that also implies other things that is with sexual sins. And so we do these sexual sins. When we're in that, we do it against our own body. We do it against the body of Christ. So it's a parallel. It parallels. So I ask you, those that are dating, be real careful. Don't leave room for anything that might open the door for something that may lead you later on to doing what you shouldn't. And those that have known each other for a long time or because you don't want to get less money for Social Security, well, then you should have that relationship, get married. I know people that because of money, they are living together, but they're not married. These people are not believers. But for the believers, we shouldn't be doing that. So I leave you with that tonight. It's a heavy-duty message, but praise God. Okay, I'll be taking calls tonight. My first caller is 828-442. Your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. It's Jennifer from North Carolina.
Jennifer, okay. One moment. Okay, thank you, Jesus. You talk with your terrible guy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for Jennifer, Father God. You know, I see God like showing me like a bicycle and a car. And what I'm seeing is that God has provided you with a faster way of getting to do the things that he wants you to do. And symbolically of that is the car. But I see you grabbing the bike instead and going slow. But God has already provided you with all the things that you need to move faster. And so the availability, you have both. But God has given you the option for you to choose. But the option would be the car, but I see you running with the bike, which is taking you longer and it's giving you you're expending more energy to get to where you're going. We can either do things in our own strength or in the strength of the Lord, allowing God to guide us to where we're going to go. We're just a passenger in the car. And God is trying to tell you that there's other ways, God's way, for you to do what you need to do. And he's trying to provide it for you, but you keep using your own strength. And so God is giving you this so that you understand there is a better way. There is a better way. And sometimes we think that, you know, God is going to get glorified the way that we think. I know that I laugh because I've done it in myself where after I expand all my energy, I'm like, God, can you help me? And he's like, that's what I was waiting for. And once I do it his way, then things run smoothly. Even in the smallest little details, if you don't give it to God, then you're going to work harder. You're going to work harder, not smarter. Amen? And I know what I'm talking about because it's happened to me. And so we're so used to, the flesh is so used to getting in there and wanting to do things. But God has an easier way. Amen. So praise God. I thank you, Lord, because Jennifer is learning the ways of the Lord, that they're working smarter and not working as hard. God is giving you, is going to give you a way to come out of where you're at. Sometimes we think of that things are impossible, but they're not impossible with God. When you do it his way, he's going to show you the way. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for Jennifer. I thank you for that listens to the voice of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey.
God bless you, dear.
Thank you. Thank you for
How
that.
Are you? You're welcome. What would you like to say tonight? If you need prayer?
Oh, I do, but I don't know what for. Like, I am really pressing into you, God. Like, I want to go. I want to go faster. It is taking, you know, it's taking a long time. And I really feel like this is the season, and I want to do it His way. And I've been pressing in for that. But I'm definitely going to have to pray about that word, because I don't know. I'm going to have to pray and seek Him. But, well.
Sometimes when we think of our the way that we can do things, we think we're going to get anything accomplished. But when we do things God's way and allow Him to give us rest, because He says, you know, come to Me and I'll give you rest. But we have to come to Him, and we have to do things His way. And I find myself, you know, having to make those corrections. You know, I think we all do, that we all have to make those corrections. But when we do it over and over and over again, we feel stuck. And God doesn't want us to feel stuck. He wants us to trust in Him. And that has to be done over and over again, because our flesh doesn't like that. Our flesh likes to take control and thinks that it can do it better. But you know what? When you rest in God and you spend time with God and reading His word, you know, I'm a doer. I like to do things and get things done. But my flesh gets sometimes ahead of me, and I have to calm it down and say, no, I'm putting God first. I'm putting God first. And even though my flesh is like, oh, antsy to go and do what it is that I want to do, I can't. I need to put God first. And you have to train yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to train you to stay in Him. And then when you're in that quiet place, spending time with God, that's where you're going to hear from the Lord how to do it. Or, like, for example, let me give you an example so you have a better idea. It's just a little example, but it could apply to anything. I was doing some plumbing, right? I was like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I removed some old plumbing. And I don't know nothing about plumbing. So I took it out. I did some videos, and I made a mistake. I put a stick in, you know, the stick that you put up and down into another piece, and it wouldn't come off. And I was like, oh, no, I ruined the piece. So I continued doing everything else and tightening it, all the new piping and everything that came out. Okay, it started leaking a little bit, but I got it to work finally. And then I walked away from it. I was like, God, help me, because I don't know how to do this, and I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And He says, oh, okay, now. So after I went, I ate and did what I had to. I took care of myself. I took care of other things, and then I came back, and the Lord said, okay, now take that piece, push this, and that released the stick. I was struggling with it, and I was like, that's all I needed to do, push it in. But I was doing it before, and it didn't do anything, but this time it worked, and then I was able to put it, boom, 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 and it got done. And I was like, oh, wow. Here I'm over here struggling because my flesh wants to get it done, but I didn't include God in it. So in every aspect of our lives, God wants to be part of that. He wants us to include Him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't know if that little example helps you to understand that you could apply to everything. To work, to taking care of your children, to cooking, to whatever it is that God, you know, would want you to do. But you have to include Him. And because the glory is for the Lord, it's not for us. The flesh likes to rise up and tries to get the glory. And it's so easy. The flesh wants to get in there and do things its way. And so because we're so used to it, but no, we need to train ourselves to sit down and listen to the Lord, and he will guide us. Be still, and he'll speak to you. Be still and know that I am God. When things are going crazy, when things are, you know, you're afraid, be still and listen. God speaks in a small voice. When the prophet was wanting to hear from God, he couldn't hear him. But it was that still, small voice. That's where he heard him. We have to get quiet to hear God. Get quiet. Spend time with him. And then in the smallest thing, bam, he speaks to you. And so he can do that for everything, even for plumbing.
Yes.
My goodness, I wasted so much time over here. And I was like, no, I'm just leaving it alone. And then I went off and I took care of myself and prayed and came back. And it was just a simple little thing. You see what I'm trying to get at? Sometimes we work harder. We work harder. I was working harder. So, amen.
Yeah, amen. That actually makes more sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And so I have to remind myself, I know we all have to, you know, because the flesh likes to rise up and do whatever it shouldn't be doing. It wants to take the glory. No, God gets the glory. Thank you, Jesus. You helped me. You gave me the strength. You showed me how to do this. Thank you, Lord. All right?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It's not that he wants to, you know, lord things over us. No, no. He wants to help us because he knows a better way. And everything, he knows a better way, and he gets the glory. It's much better. We know when you're dead and he's alive, your body can't say or do anything.
Right.
Okay, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? Amen? And sometimes we think we are hearing God, and God has to let us, you know, do our thing and realize that we're not doing it his way. You know, sometimes his no is like, not necessarily no, but not your way, my way. Let's do it my way. Amen?
Amen.
God's way. God.
Yes, always.
Okay. I hope that helped.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Amen. Let me pray for you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for Jennifer, Father God. Lord, we lift up all the things that she needs help with, the things that are in her heart that she needs your assistance, Father God. We ask you, Father God, that you would help her to hear clearly your instructions for whatever it is that she needs to do, Father God, in her prayer list, Father. And so we thank you, Lord, knowing that she casts her care on you because you care for her. Bless her family, her children, Father God. Cover them with your blood. Cover all of them, Father God, with your blood. Cover her with your blood and help her, Father God, to see the purpose and the plan that you have for her in this earth, that she would know that she'll be walking on time in perfect timing with your divine plan in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you.
You.
Hope you have
you're
a
welcome.
Blessed night. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hi, Sarah. Let me put you on mute. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah, Father God. You know, as mothers, we want to tell our children exactly what to do sometimes, and it frustrates our children because when they are adults and they become independent, they feel like we're telling them what to do as children. And so I see that God is showing you to, instead of speak, you're relying more on prayer. I see you praying for those things that you know that don't work. The things, same things that you've seen over and over. And so I see you praying more and leaving things in the hands of the Lord. And I see you, I see your prayers being answered. I see your prayers being answered because of this. And so it's training. It's for your training. And we also have to allow our children to make mistakes, to learn from their mistakes. It's not what we want. It's not what God wants. But sometimes it's the only way that a person can understand that God is there when they turn to him. And so prayer does work. And so we thank you, Lord, for Sarah, for that godly praying woman, for the prayer of the righteous availeth much. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Thank you, Lord, for our sister. Thank you for her work, Father God, that sometimes we want bigger things, and we don't realize that sometimes in the small place is where God is teaching us the biggest lesson. And so that in due time, God will God will promote you. So we thank you, Father, for Sarah, Father God, for your humble servant that seeks your ways and not her own. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. All right. All right, Sarah. Hi,
yes.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. Blessed. Relax.
Blessed. Yeah. So, the word, once again, when it's dealing with the Lord, it was the right on time word of the Lord. You know, we want the best for our children, and especially in times like these, we don't want them to go into any direction that, you know, the enemy is sitting there or waiting there or whatever you want to call it, and they're like, you know, I wonder what can I do to distract them or to, you know, distract them or make them go in a different way. So we pray and cover them, you know, the best we know how, and pray that the Lord will always lead and guide their footsteps and into righteousness, and also to guide them and put his covering over them so that the enemy doesn't do too much things. But then, you know, sometimes in life when we have to learn, you know, and we learn through our mistakes, but then we go back to the Lord and he corrects them and he lets us know and he brings us back into the fold of him again. So that's the beauty of it all. So I learned a lot through this lesson on tonight, and I feel blessed by it.
Amen.
That's one thing. And then the second part of it is, you know, I had a friend tonight. I have a friend. She lives in, where is Ohio, and she was telling me, she said, why don't you go ahead and retire? And I'm only 53, so I don't know where she got it from. Said, Oh, my goodness. I said, you mean retire, Dad? She said, yeah. Just relax a little. It'll be good. So I was like, you know, I'm going to pray about that. So as soon as I was going to pray about it tonight, the Lord had you to answer. He had you to, he used you as his spiritual mouthpiece to say, hey, look, you're there for a moment, but the Lord is going to promote you. It may be in his way, in his timing, but it may not be time to retire. What do you think?
Well, I don't see retirement in the word. We're supposed to work, right? We can rest, and that's what vacation time and, you know, spending time with our family. And we, the reason why people want to retire is because they overwork themselves. And when you learn to have rest, your Shabbat, your time of rest, like God says, you don't burn out. And so we have a purpose and a plan. God still is waiting to do great things in you, Sarah. He hasn't finished with you yet. But it's in God's timing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're going through stuff, we feel humbled by the things that are going around us. But you stay there and you do the best you can. I remember a story of this one man that was saying that he took a job. He had an education. He was a pastor, and he had come from another country and came to the United States. And so he couldn't find a job. And so he needed to get a job. And so he took one as a cleaning janitor, right? And so he saw all his other coworkers doing the job, but they were doing it sloppy. And they're like, why are you doing it that way? Do it this way. And it was sloppy and very not very clean. It was very nasty. And so he took his time to do what he needed to do the right way. And then there was some changes in the company. And they told him that they were some changes and some people were going to be, you know, released, but that they came up to him and they asked him if he wouldn't mind being the manager. So God promoted him because they saw the way that he did things and he had, how he kept things clean and, you know, the excellence in this man. He didn't care that he had a degree, that he was a pastor. He did what he needed to do, and he did it in the right way, like if he was serving the Lord, unto the Lord. Then promotion came, and from there, he kept going up and up. They saw his way, his ethics. He was doing it unto God. The other ones, they were no longer there because they saw how sloppy they were. And so I believe that God is in due time. God is going to give you that promotion. They're seeing how you do things. I remember this one lady that worked in a daycare. I was in California, in Fort Irwin, and there was a daycare. And I knew this lady. She didn't speak English very well. She was Hispanic. She was from Puerto Rico. And she started working at that daycare. Well, everybody, you know, and their mama would come in, and they would leave. Nobody would stay doing the job. And she continued staying there, and people would come and go. Other people were getting, you know, promoted and this and that, and she was, you know, in the same position because she felt like she couldn't speak English very well, but she did her job, and she took care of those kids, you know, with all her heart. Well, one day I was looking at our military newspaper, and I see her on the newspaper. They had taken a picture of her. They had awarded her for being one of the best workers there. They gave her some cash for doing the job that she was doing. People had come and gone, but she stayed faithful, and they promoted her, and they honored her. And I was like, wow. You know, but she stuck it out. And I mean, there was some times that she wanted to leave because it was not easy. But she stuck it out, and she did what she, and God blessed her. And so, you know,
awesome.
When we humble ourselves and we do the job as if we're doing it unto the Lord, God's going to see that. Look what happened with Joseph. Joseph was in prison. He helped in the prison. He did the job, not complaining that he was there. He did it with, you know, everywhere he went, he did the job right. And then when it came time, he was promoted. He was promoted. So wherever you're at, do the job as unto the Lord, because God sees everything that you're doing. And he sees your heart. He sees how you're treating other people. You know, if you're a caretaker, do the best to take care of those people. If you're a cleaner, be the best cleaner. If you do electrician, do the best electrician work you can do. Whatever you're doing, do the best as unto the Lord. No matter if you're not getting paid the amount that you want, but sooner or later, you're strong and steady. You stay there, and God will bless you. God will bless you. Now, if he says move, then you move. But you'll know it. You'll know it. But retirement, I don't think God wants us to retire, especially not now. The way things are, we have to tell other people about Jesus. There's other ways of serving God too. At work, in church, there's so many, you know, going down the street, your neighbor. Amen. So, but remember, obey God. Obey him by resting, spending time with him, rebooting. It's that we run because we're doing things in the flesh. We run and we do and we get tired. But we don't reboot by spending time with the Lord. Today was a wonderful day for me. I was resting. I was like tempted to start cleaning. I was like, no, I'm not cleaning. I'm relaxing, spending time in the Word. And we have to do that. We have to do that. Otherwise, we're not rebooting. We're running on empty batteries. And we're not allowing God to recharge us. Recharge us for the week. We do. Even daughters with family, you know, I know people that have their family in the hospital. Even that, we have to have wisdom on how to do that. Because we could wear out real fast. And we have priorities. Sometimes people are thinking that, oh, I have to do this or the church. And no. It's first God, then you. There's an order. Then your family, then the rest. You know, for those that are single, even better. You have more time for the Lord to spend for the Lord. That's your husband. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be in any way. Worshiping, it could be listening to the Word while you're driving. It's talking to him. You know, a lot of people make this, following God, so religious. It's not that hard. It's just spending time with him, with your mind, with your soul, with your spirit, thinking about him, talking to him. Even when you're gardening, even when you're cleaning, whatever you're doing, talk to him. He'll show you what to do. Even in plumbing, like I was doing this. I was like, oh, my goodness, I don't know how to do this. I'm thinking a lot of new things I don't know how to do, but now I know how to do them. God has been there. I'm like, God. And I get to the point where I'm like, oh, I can't do this, God. Yes, I know you can. I was waiting for you. And it's raining. It's training. God will train us and show us. I've learned to do the ACs and fix them and clean them up. And I try to learn a little bit of everything. If I don't know, I'll ask for help. I pray, I ask God. When he doesn't say anything, he wants me to go to somebody to ask them how to do it, or he'll guide me some way. So trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding about how to do things. Just trust him. He's going to help you. It's so much better. And then you look back and you're like, oh, my goodness, I would have wasted my whole day. I and I probably would have messed things up. But I read to the Lord, and he showed me, and I'm like, just a simple little thing. Just press this. And I was like, oh, that works. I almost messed it up. So don't mess things up. Let God, and he'll help you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that something else?
I wanted to say something about the temple. The reason why God sees adultery, adultery can be fornication or any other sexual sin that's outside of the marriage. He died for that. And before in the temple, they used to kill animals, and they would carry them and worship in the, you know, the temple according to the Mosaic law. Remember in Hebrews 9, where it talks about when Jesus died, that the veil was torn. It's believed that that veil, you know, they don't know because the Word of God doesn't say it. It's believed that that veil was like 4 inches thick. And so when Jesus died, it was symbolizing that that old way of doing things was done with. And it was Jesus now. It was through Jesus' atonement, his dying for us on the cross, his blood. There was an atonement once and for all. In the Jewish tradition, this veil, like I said, was like 4 inches. And it was fashioned in blue and purple. It had colors. It was made out of fine linen. When Jesus died on the cross, the word says that when Jesus had cried out, it says, you know, it is finished. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two pieces from top to bottom, right? Well, it was torn. And so, I mean, a strong man couldn't have done that. So that's in the word is trying to let us know that covenant, that old covenant was done with, and there was a new covenant that came in. This was symbolic of his sacrifice that was complete, that was sufficient, the sufficient atonement for our sins. There was no more killing of lambs for our sins. Now the only way was through Jesus, right? And so this temple, when we accept him as Lord and Savior, that temple, we become that temple. And so that's why I believe that Paul was referring to the sin of adultery as the sin against the body. And think about it. When we sin against God, we're sinking. You know, we're the body, we're the bride. And so there's a lot of parallels from one thing to the other, from the natural and the spiritual, when that sin is done. I mean, it's more than physical sin. It's a spiritual, it affects us spiritually, and there's consequences too. So young people, I speak to you all, as well as the old people, to flee immorality. We see it everywhere. We see it on the TV. We see it, hear it on the radio. The music, the wording on the radio is so seductive. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't even hear the radio. I can't hear it at all. I just got to turn it off. It's always insinuating something sexual. And so we have to be careful. Don't allow a moment of, you know, passion to pull you into those things. Whether you're married or not married, anything not done in marriage is sin. So, amen. I just had to go on my little rant.
Well,
all right, Sarah,
is
there anything you... Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's... it's just so beautiful how the Lord just comes in and guide and lead you through the message and the words that he wants you to say when you come on the air, especially with the lesson on today. The body, when we get married, we not only say I do to your woman or man, whoever you're, you know, that you're in the marriage covenant with, male and female. The Lord, he wants you to make that covenant not only there, but you're making a covenant with the Lord as well. So when you make that covenant with the Lord, it's like, don't break it, you know, because it's like you make it with the person, but you're making it with Jesus too. So it's two covenants going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so.
Yeah, it's before the Lord. It's before God.
It's before God. So it's two covenants, you know, and the most important one is the Lord, because you're like, wait a minute, I can't do this, you know, because I made a covenant with the Lord as well, you know, so I can't, you know, because he loves us and everything, but he wants us to treat our bodies, because our body belongs to the Lord. It's the temple of God. And the way we treat it, you know, is the way our response back to the Lord. If we abuse it, then we're saying, Lord, I really, you know, no. I'm going to abuse my body. I'm sorry. This is what I want. If we take care of it, we're letting the Lord know we respect you, we honor you, and we love you, because we're going to keep our bodies up. It's the temple of God. It's the temple of you, you know. But the most important thing within marriage is to remember that not only do you make the covenant vow with the person, it's Jesus as well, you know?
Mhm. Mhm.
And he puts the marriage together.
Yes. But a lot of people forget we have to be equally yoked. Some people marry people outside of the faith, and that's not what God wants. He doesn't want you to be united with somebody that is not a believer. And unequally yoked is another thing. If that person is not seeking God the way you seek God, there can be problems too. You know, you're not going to, a pastor's not going to marry a baby in Christ just because, you know, she looks good or he looks good. But, you know, people don't understand that adultery is not, you don't necessarily have to sleep with a person. In Matthew 5:28-30, it says, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart, even with the look. I used to tell my friends, one time we were having a discussion, and I say, you know what? It starts with the look. She goes, what? And I go, yes, it starts with the look. A man will see a woman across the room, and they'll lock eyes, and it starts with the look. Like, you could see that they lust after each other. I can tell. I could walk in a room, and I can see who likes who. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. And you can see it, and it all starts with the eyes. And I was like, I knew there was something funny going on with those two. So it says, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The look has to be with lust, you know. And so that's why women look and dress up and to attract. Because they want to be looked at. So we have to be real careful how we dress, how we're attracting. We don't want to attract somebody and cause somebody else to sin. I mean, but they know, you know, and they know there's something else. Look the other way. But you're not helping if you're, you know, trying to attract that kind of attention. It's not easy. And there's a lot of divorces and a lot of lonely people out there, widows, widowers, lonely people looking for, but they're looking for the companion in the wrong person. It's first in God. Then God will place the person that he wants you to have if that's God's will. But you have to submit to God's will, whether he wants it or not for you. So it's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. And so sometimes it's better to avoid the headache. There's some people out there that they don't act like they should. And then once they're married, they act different. So unless it's the Lord's picking, we don't. And he will bring the person to your life when it's the right time. Focus on God. Let's focus on God, not on man. Man can't give us anything. Only what God can do through them. But if you're picking the wrong person, you're not going anywhere. You're just going to have headaches. So praise the Lord. It starts with the eyes. All right, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you wanted to pray about or talk about?
Well, no, I think that sums it up. You know, and then it just reminds me so much of my mom, you know. When my mom, mm-hmm. she would say, I'd say, Mom, she was 77. She, you know, been a nurse for 50 years. And anyway, she was still working. And I said, you know, aren't you going to retire, Mom? She's like, retire? It doesn't say I need to retire. She was talking about the mm-hmm. word of God. She says, I don't need to retire. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, she was funny.
I mean, God sometimes changes our job duties, but I don't think retirement is, you know, either when you retire, you're getting ready to die, I think.
Yeah.
While you have breath in you, you need to work. I mean, I know that some people take Social Security and things like that, but that doesn't mean that they retire. They still are
yeah.
used by the Lord. I mean, there's things that they can still do for the Lord. God has a purpose and a plan. He just doesn't decide that, okay, just because you retire, you're not going to do it. Do you know that a lot of people that retire and don't do anything else, they actually start growing old faster? They look older. And before you know it, a few years later, they're out of here. They don't have a purpose and a plan. You know, they don't have a reason to be around. When God is done with you, that's it. He's done with you. When God took Moses, he was a strong man. He wanted to still go into the promised land. But when God says no more, that's it. It's when God says, not when we say. So.
Amen.
You're going to see me as a real old lady. I saw this one lady. She was about, I think, 90-something. My goodness, that lady, her mind was, she was sharp, really sharp, the way that she spoke. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Older people needed to take a cue from her because she was, like, so on. Her mind was so sharp. And the things that were coming out of her mouth were such wisdom. I was like, wow. Yeah, your body fades, but that doesn't mean your mind and your, you know, your thinking. I mean, sometimes your work changes because you don't have the energy, you know, the youth that you used to have. But your mind is sharper. You have more wisdom. So it recompenses for what you lack. And so a lot of people just don't understand that, and they just sit there and do nothing, watch TV all day, and that's it. That's their life. And that's not what God calls us to do.
Sit around doing
nothing but watching TV and just letting your mind become mush. And children shouldn't be put in front of the TV either. Their minds become mush from watching a lot of nothing, of things that are not worth it. So Yeah, TV can be good if it's going to teach us something, but not for hours on end. It's not, you know, everything can be good, and they can also be bad. So. All right, Sarah.
Yeah. And then you don't want the adversary to come in and start playing tricks on your mind, and then you're like, wait a minute, what's going on? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
but thank you.
You
so
can
much.
Be a couch potato. Yeah.
You can be what
being
now?
A couch potato. You can end up being a couch potato. What can the couch potato do? Nothing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's awful. So we
mm-hmm.
pray for active minds and praying for taking our vitamins and keeping an alert mind, and that the Lord will give us strength and energy to carry on, to keep working as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm. You're 53. You're still a baby.
I know. I didn't know what she was talking about. I was like, are you okay?
Maybe that's what she wants. She wants to retire herself and wants to put it all on everybody else.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I was like, are you okay? Yeah, but,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to pray about? Or
no, that's pretty much it. I thank the Lord for the lesson, especially on tonight. I learned so much every time I tune in. To the show. So anyway, just keep praying for me, and I'll pray for you as always, and have
amen,
a blessed,
amen.
Blessed week.
All right. Well, God bless you. You have a great week, girl. God bless.
Okay, you too. God bless.
All right. All right. If there's no more callers to raise their hands up with, then I'll play a song and then I'll end the show. But let me play something first and then I'll close the show. Give me a second here. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, it's all done from the phone.
Oh.